Amen. Luke chapter 19. Praise God again. It's good to have everybody tonight. Thankful for all of you that are here. Amen. Appreciate you. Amen. For coming on this Thursday night. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to ask you to stand, if you would, for the reading of the Word of God tonight. If you have a Bible, go with us there to Luke 19. If not, we'll have it on the screen there. Amen. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. God is good, isn't He? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke 19, we're going to begin at the beginning of the chapter, verse 1. Really familiar scripture tonight, but the Lord has laid this on my heart. Amen. And so I want to, amen, bring what He has given me tonight. Luke 19, chapter 1, verse 1, sorry. Chapter 19, verse 1. Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Hallelujah. Amen. We want to bless the shofar. We want you to give the Lord praise for his word tonight.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise for the word tonight. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. If we never need the word, it's right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Amen. If the Lord will allow me, I just want to minister for him. Amen. Just a little bit on this thought. When who I am meets who he is. Amen. When who I am meets who he is. Hallelujah. Amen. Say that with me. When who I am meets who he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that Zacchaeus was, amen, a chief among the publicans. Amen. Now, we need to understand that a publican, amen, and translated is simply a tax collector. Amen. So he was the chief among tax collectors. Amen. And the Bible says that he was wealthy. So the fact that he was a wealthy tax collector and that he was chief, amen, among the tax collectors gives us a little, amen, insight of Zacchaeus and how he operated. Amen. He was what they called in that time a tax farmer. Amen. You have to understand that ancient tax collectors would work on commission. Amen. So they simply worked on commission. Now, a tax collector that was a tax farmer made a profit by charging whatever extra he could, amen, and pocketing that extra. So whatever he could get, whatever extra he could get away with charging, amen, everyone, he would make that, amen, and put that in his pocket. Praise God. So this is why Zacchaeus was a wealthy tax collector. Amen. Because he was considered what they called a tax farmer because, amen, of how he operated. Now, he was hated by the Jews, and not just because of their natural dislike of taxes. Can I get amen. Hallelujah. But also for the tax farming. So not only did they dislike him because he was a tax collector, but they disliked him even more so because he was, amen, a tax farmer. So history will tell us that Rome would typically charge 20% tax. Amen. So that Rome charged 20% tax. So Zacchaeus would charge, let's say, 30% tax, and then he would keep, amen, that 10% difference. So as he would do this to all of, amen, the people in the city and the people in the land, he would get to pocket. He would pay Rome, the Roman government, the 20%, and then he would pocket, amen, that 10%. Praise God. But the Bible tells us, amen, that even though Zacchaeus was, amen, hated by the Jews, and he was a wealthy, amen, thief, if I can say it like that, amen, he was dishonest, a dishonest tax collector. The Bible says that Zacchaeus sought after Jesus, amen. I think this is interesting tonight when we look at this, amen. He sought after Jesus. So I think the question he might ask is, who is he? Who is this Jesus? What is it that Zacchaeus heard about Jesus that he would want to seek after him? Amen. Did he maybe hear that Jesus accepted people like him? Because Zacchaeus was, amen, not a well-liked man. He was not a man who was popular because he was, amen, dishonest and he was a thief. Amen. So he sought after Jesus. Amen. And so this gives us a little bit of further insight, amen, that something was going on. Obviously, God had been dealing with Zacchaeus long before he climbed the tree. Long before Zacchaeus climbed the tree, we have to put together that based on what was happening and what he did, that God was dealing with Zacchaeus way before he climbed the tree. So Zacchaeus said, I want to know more of him. Amen. I want to know who this Jesus is. Of course, we now know who Jesus is. Amen. First of all, he is the Son of God. Amen. Amen. That he is Savior. That he is the healer. Hallelujah. That he is a refuge. And then Jesus is a provider. Jesus is our strength. He is a joy. He is peace. Amen. He is a defender. Amen. Of those who love him. He is a protector. Amen. Praise God. He is Lord. He is King of all kings. Amen. He is my everything. And so Zacchaeus was wanting to find out, who is this Jesus? Amen. So I have to wonder, what did he hear about him? As he was seeking, the Bible says he sought, amen, to see Jesus. Amen. I want to know more of him. Can I tell you tonight that one of the greatest injustices in the body of Christ is that when we quit seeking more of Jesus. Amen. When we quit seeking to know more of him. See, anyone with a heart for God, amen, and desires to please him, amen, will be a seeker. So if you have a heart for God and you desire, amen, to know him in a greater measure, and then not only do you desire to know him, but because you know him, amen, you love him, and because you have learned and you're learning, amen, to love him, that you desire to please him, this, amen, would be a seeker. Amen. Do we have any seekers in the house tonight? Hallelujah. Praise God. May we never lose our desire to seek him. May we never become complacent with just coming into his presence and settling for what we already know. But may we have such a desire, amen, that we realize, amen, that he is a treasure, amen, that never, hallelujah, reaches, amen, its greatest value. But the more that we seek him, hallelujah, the more we'll find him. I've said before, amen, the Lord is not hiding and trying to, amen, hiding around the corner trying to hide himself from everyone. He's not trying to not be found. If you seek him, you will find him. You say, well, I'm going through some pretty terrible times right now. I'm going through some real difficult, amen, trials. I'm in a pretty dark season right now. One that would consider a wilderness. Maybe there's a loss. Maybe, amen, you've received a bad report. Maybe, hallelujah, amen, the warfare is just intense. But can I tell you that God is in everything? He is everywhere. You just have to look for him. People will say, I don't know where God is. I have asked the question before, have you looked for him? I've been to where it felt like, we preached last week, amen, to where it felt like he wasn't there. Hallelujah. But if you look for him, you will find him. He is a deliverer, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I heard a testimony, amen, of a man, hallelujah, who was battling with depression. Amen. Now I understand that there's demonic, amen, strongholds, and there are spirits of depression, and there are things that can, amen, take legal ground. But can I tell you, amen, just because you are depressed doesn't mean, amen, that there's a demon that needs to be, amen, cast out. Are you with me? Amen. And he was sitting in a service, and he had been battling depression. This was recently. He had been battling depression. Amen. And the preacher was preaching, and he was getting ready to give the altar call. And he preached about the woman with the issue of blood, and how she made her way through the crowd and touched Jesus. And as the preacher was getting ready to give, amen, to open the altar, he said the Spirit spoke to him and said, if you'll be the first one up there at that altar, I will deliver you and heal you tonight. He said, I pushed the woman sitting beside me out the way. He said, I made my way up to that altar. And he said, the Lord miraculously delivered me, set me free from depression. He said, I went home and I poured out both my prescriptions. Amen. I believe that was in January. He said, and I have not battled one thought of depression since January. He gave that testimony on Sunday. So I'm here to tell you tonight that if you'll seek him, you will find him. Oh, somebody give the Lord a shout of praise on a Thursday night. Where he is. Are you with me tonight? Hallelujah. Just stay with me. Praise God. So I wonder what was going on in Zacchaeus' heart to make him run and climb up a tree. Hallelujah. We're talking about a wealthy man. A man, hallelujah, of a great status. A man that was known, obviously. Amen. He wasn't well liked among the Jews. Amen. Praise God. Now the Roman government loved him because he collected the tax. Amen. But what made him, what was going on in his heart to make him run and climb a tree? He was a Jew that was working for the Roman government. Hallelujah. But, hallelujah, he saw the opposition when the crowd had gathered. Amen. When he had heard that Jesus was passing by that way, hallelujah, he said, oh, wait a minute. I've heard about him before. Hallelujah. I believe with everything within me, amen, that the Spirit that was bringing had already been dealing with Zacchaeus' heart. Hallelujah. And he looked at the crowd. Amen. And he saw the opposition. But then he looked over and he saw that sycamore tree. Hallelujah. Amen. That tall sycamore tree. Amen. Made of that surly wood. Amen. That was known, amen, for its great branches. Amen. And its leaves. Amen. Give shade. And he saw an opportunity. Hallelujah. And he said, said, you know what? I'm not going to let this opportunity pass me by. Hallelujah. So he looked, he saw the tree. Amen. And he realized that if he got up high enough in that tree, that he would be able to see over the crowd and see this Jesus. Amen. Are you with me? Hallelujah. But listen to me. A seeker is going to face hardships. A seeker is going to face trials. And a seeker is going to face unforeseen blocks. Hallelujah. But you got to follow the conviction of your heart. When you know, hallelujah, amen, you can be in dire straits. Hallelujah. Be in a mess. And still know that the only answer is Jesus. Come on, somebody. You can try everything else. Like the woman with the issue of blood. Like that brother I heard testify. Amen. He had tried it all. Battled depression. Amen. For years. Had a family, a wife, and children. Praise God. Amen. But hey, when he saw the opportunity, he said, I'm not going to let this opportunity pass me by. Amen. So when you are a seeker, hallelujah, you're going to face some hardships. There's going to be some things that's going to try to block you. Are you with me? But you've got to follow the conviction. Because if you're ever going to defeat, amen, these things that come against you in your life, you're going to have to, amen, seek and do what you haven't done before. Amen, are you with me? You're going to stay a shepherd until you face a Goliath, until you come out, amen, of the field and realize, amen, that you're anointed. Amen. And you're going to face a Goliath. Amen. Nothing wrong with being a shepherd. But God didn't anoint David to be a shepherd. He anointed David to be a giant killer. Come on, somebody. And he's anointed each and every one of you. Amen. That are in his covenant to be a giant slayer. He's anointed every one of you to come out of the field. Amen. And to defeat the enemy. We know Zacchaeus was short, amen. But King James says he was of little of stature. So that tells us that he was shorter than the average man his age. So the average, amen, the average, amen, height of men his age, Zacchaeus was shorter than the average height. Amen. So all of his life, he had trouble seeing over others. This was not a new thing. All of his life, he was challenged to be able to see over everyone else. We call it vertically challenged. It's not proper to say you're not as short anymore. You can't use the proper words anymore. But hey, if you're short, you're short.
Right.
Come on.
If you're tall, you're tall.
Right.
If you're average, you're average. Right? Amen. So Zacchaeus, all of his life, this was an obstacle. All of his life, he had trouble seeing over others. All of his life, there were things that he couldn't reach. And he couldn't acquire on his own without help because of his stature. Because he was shorter than the average person. So that means he faced obstacles that the average person didn't face. So he dealt with things that, if you're ever in a grocery store, I can't stand to see somebody struggle trying to pull something off the shelf. I don't care how old they are. They're not helping the elderly. I'm elderly now. According to my grandkids. So you see somebody struggling. And there's been a few times that you go to help. And they're like, mm-mm. You're like, look, no, I got it. Okay. You want to stand back and wait and see how long it takes them to get it? But you know what I mean? It's because they have developed that mindset that, no, I don't need your help. Because there's been times when there was nobody there to help. And they had to find a way to get it. Come on. Hallelujah. So they learned. Amen. To manage and to handle that. So despite all of this in Zacchaeus' life, we see that he was successful. Amen. He was a wealthy man. He didn't have to worry about money. He didn't have to worry, amen, about dealing with the government. Praise God. Amen. He was successful. But I thought today, how many times, how often do we feel like we never measure up? How many times as children of God, as covenant children of God, do we feel like we never meet the requirements? That we never measure up? And I said it before, in today's culture, amen, the comparison of the ability to compare is worse than it's ever been. Amen. Social media is the worst place to go when you feel like you're not meeting the mark. You know, it's like when you're a kid and you measure yourself and you mark the wall and then you go back to see if you've grown any. And if you're one of those people like Zacchaeus, there isn't a lot of marks. And then you're an adult and you realize that the mark hasn't moved much from the time you were, amen, a preteen, amen. So praise God. So the ability to compare, amen, and that spirit, I believe that it's become a spirit, amen. There's a spirit behind it anyway, amen, that induces it, because it's really easy to get on there and compare your marriage, your income, amen, your job, your kids, your gifts, your looks, amen, what you have, your material possessions, amen, friends, and how many friends you don't have compared to how many, amen, others have, how many, amen, comment on other people's posts, but they don't comment on your posts, and how many likes other people's comments, but they don't like your comments. Are you with me? Amen. Praise God. But spiritually speaking, amen, the enemy will come in and always try to tell us we come up short. He'll always try to tell us that there's always somebody, amen, that is above us. And so we feel like we're always trying to do this, to reach, amen, our breakthrough. We're always trying to struggle to look over everybody else to, amen, to see Jesus, amen, to see, hallelujah, the answer. We're always trying to measure up in our prayer life, and amen, but we never quite seem to make it. We check and we measure the mark, and there's no movement, there's no change. Are you with me? Hallelujah, amen. You measure, you feel like, amen, you don't measure up. If you're a singer, you feel like you come up short to other singers. If you're a preacher, you feel like you come up short to other preachers. If you're a teacher, all of those things. Are you with me? Hallelujah, praise God. And so we feel like that we just don't measure up. Hallelujah, amen. But listen, Zacchaeus' natural state gave him a disadvantage in seeking Jesus. There was nothing he could do about his stature. Are you with me? Amen. Nothing was ever going to change, amen, his ability, amen, to be taller. He could have been shorter, I guess. Hallelujah. But the point is, amen, that was a natural state that gave him a disadvantage when it came to seeking Jesus. So this had to affect his personality. Amen. He was probably mocked as a child. Amen. About being short. Amen. About always. Amen. I was always the fattest in the class. Amen. I was short. Amen. I didn't get tall till, amen, the summer of my sixth grade year. Amen. I was always, amen, I was probably taller than most, but I was still short compared to what I was. But I was always, amen, if I wasn't the biggest, I was second in line. Amen. And people may have pointed that out. Amen. Sometimes even the gym teacher would point that kind of thing out. Amen. Hallelujah. So he probably got made fun of. Amen. All of his life, it was pointed out he was small. Look how short he is. They're coming short. Come on, are you with me? They come get in front of him. Amen. And praise God. And there were things that he couldn't do. And now, not only was he mocked probably all of his life, he was now hated. Amen. And worse than that, he was labeled a sinner. Amen. Now, this is a Jew, praise God, who, amen, understands covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but he was labeled now a sinner. But you see, he used his disadvantage to his advantage, because now all of these other people that always stood above him, amen, all of these other people that always stood above him, now he was going to use his disadvantage to his advantage, because not just anybody could climb up, could shimmy up that sycamore tree, amen, but this little short man named Zacchaeus, hallelujah, now, hallelujah, he could climb right up that tree, and he was above them all, amen, nobody was over him, so he used his disadvantage, amen, to his advantage. Further, God used it to bring glory to his will, amen. So I'm here to tell you tonight that the enemy might try to convince you that you don't measure up, amen, and guess what? There's always going to be somebody better looking. There's always going to be somebody prettier. There's always going to be somebody that's more liked. There's always going to be somebody that's more popular. There's always going to be somebody that can sing better. There's always going to be somebody that can play better. There's always going to be somebody who, amen, is more eloquent and can deliver a message, amen, better than you. Are you with me? But the point is, God did not create you in other people's image. He created you in his image. So the gift and the ability that he has given you, amen, cannot be matched by anyone else. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So God will take, amen, that disadvantage, and if you'll yield and surrender to him, amen, he'll use what seems to be against you and turn it and make it for you, to where, spiritually speaking, amen, there won't be anybody standing in your way. There won't be anybody, amen, hindering you from seeing Jesus. But you see, here's the key. This is why I believe that God was dealing with Zacchaeus way before he climbed that sycamore tree. Amen. He had a repentant heart. His heart was already in condition to say, Lord, I am a sinner. Are you with me? Amen. So he's like, you know what? I want to see this Jesus. I've heard that he loves, amen, people like me. I've heard that he's doing, amen, amen, supernatural. See, it's when his super meets our natural and becomes that supernatural beyond all means. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So that's the key. If we're willing to yield to God and to recognize our inadequacy, I recognize where I come up short. That's the key, is saying, amen, before God, he will meet you right where you are. He will never fail to meet you where you are. Amen. And even though Zacchaeus was wealthy and he was a prominent man, he laid aside his pride. Can you imagine the people looking around, amen, and seeing the tax collector, amen, the man that came knocking on the door, hallelujah, amen, and require them to give a certain percentage, and then they look and see he's wearing finer clothes, amen, he's living in, amen, a better home. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Praise God. But now, here he is. He's climbed up a tree like a little boy. Amen. Climbing up a tree. Can you imagine them looking up there and seeing him? Amen. Up there, that man that they labeled a sinner. Hallelujah. Even though he was wealthy and prominent. Hallelujah. He was willing to do whatever it took. Amen. If we do Are you with me? In our present situation or in our current condition, I'm here to tell you He will meet us where we are. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, who the Lord has sent this word to. Amen. But you're in a place, amen, of uncertainty. You're in a place, amen, I'm feeling a crossroads. There's been a weight, amen, I sense it, even, amen, a pressure, amen, and you presented yourself, hallelujah, as everything seems to be okay, hallelujah, but I'm telling you tonight that if you will do all that you can to see Jesus, are you with me? Lay aside all the pride, lay aside everything, realize your inadequacy, amen, and be willing to climb that sycamore tree. You see that tree there? Be willing. Hallelujah. There, I know a lot of preachers, amen, and people who wouldn't dare climb a tree. They would feel like they deserve a front row seat. Are you with me? Zacchaeus could have said, excuse me. Amen. People didn't like him. They probably let him through. Praise God. But he said, you know what? I don't know how long he's going to be here. I don't know how long he's going to be right here in this place. So I'm going to climb that tree. I see an opportunity. I feel an opportunity for somebody on a Thursday night. You're not here by coincidence. There's no such thing as coincidence in God. Hallelujah. So if you'll do all just like the Lord told that man in that service in January, if you'll be the first one up there, I'll meet you right there and I'll heal you tonight. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. When you're willing to see the Lord, amen. Praise God. He'll meet you right where you are. That humility to climb that tree and crucify that flesh. You got to crucify that flesh. Right? That's what Paul talked about. I die every day, every day, every day. I got to put myself on the cross. And the Bible says Jesus looked up and saw him. He didn't pass him by. How many times has Zacchaeus been overlooked all of his life? How many times had he been overlooked because the average, he faced obstacles that the average person didn't face? Are you with me tonight? Hang with me. I'm going. Jesus didn't pass him by. Even more so, he called him by name. Imagine that. He had never met Jesus before. Based on conclusions. But Jesus looked up and saw him. He didn't say, hey, you short man up there in that tree. Come on. See, it matters how we perceive the way God sees us.
Come on.
It matters.
That's good.
How we feel God sees us.
Yeah.
But he said, Zacchaeus. Mm-hmm. I got to think of today. Nobody had probably ever, it probably had been years since anyone had spoken his name like that in that loving tone.
Mm-hmm.
Probably since his mom. We know that anytime anybody else saw him coming, they're like, oh, God. And certainly didn't want to see him walking up the sidewalk, knocking on the door.
Right.
Knowing that he's stealing from you and nothing you can do about it. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that the name Zacchaeus in the Hebrew means pure one.
Mm.
He was far from it. But you see, that's how God saw him.
Right.
That was God's destiny for him. pure one. We can say righteous one. We can say, amen, sanctified one. Amen. Praise God. If the Lord called me pure, I'd be like, I'm still working. I'm still stripping and cutting away every day, right? But see, here's the thing. God knew him before he knew Jesus. Before Zacchaeus saw Jesus, God knew him. And he saw him not as that unable, disadvantaged, less than average, short man who climbed a tree, who in their right mind would climb a tree to see Jesus. You can't even, almost sound like a pastor now, you can't even get people to come and sit and on padded seats and warm air when it's winter and cool air when it's summer, amen. Come on. Well, let alone climb a tree.
Come on.
Don't even go longer than an hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours, because they just can't handle it. But you see their time, you see their time stamp on their posts. They're up at 2:39, 3:39, scrolling, sharing, writing. Come on, somebody. That's why you can't stay awake in church, because you don't go to bed at night.
Come on.
Come on. Truth, right?
Yep.
But God knew him before he knew Jesus. Not as sinner. Not as shorty. Not as thief. Not as disadvantaged, but he knew him as Zacchaeus, the pure one. See, we got to be really careful. I talked last week, I think it was Thursday, maybe it was Sunday, I don't remember. Amen. But praise God, if we're not careful, the things that the enemy says to us will turn into a condition.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll have a condition that God needs to deliver us from.
Uh-huh.
So the woman with the issue of blood had a condition. And if we're not careful, and again, we see ourselves as not measured up. You know how many times that, and I know I'm not the only pastor and the only preacher, amen, but does, you know how many times I walk away from this pulpit feeling like I didn't meet the standard? And, you know, in a sense, that's a good thing, but if you allow it to influence your steps and to influence the next time that you go to get up and stand behind the pulpit, or the next time that you go to, are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Then it becomes a situation. So Zacchaeus was used to never measuring up. And so we got to be careful. And Jesus said to Zacchaeus, he said, I must abide today at your house. Now, can you imagine all the other people that had came to see Jesus? All the ones who considered themselves pure.
Right.
Because of their works and the things that they did and the things that their obligations that they fulfilled, and the ones that, amen, didn't have any problem seeing Jesus. It wasn't that Jesus was tall. The Bible doesn't tell us, and we just perceive that Jesus was probably average height. They probably thought, well, how come you ain't come to my house? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know sometimes
mm-hmm.
if you're in that place.
Mm-hmm.
And God be blessing somebody in your presence. You're like, why don't he bless me like that?
Come on.
Why didn't he come into my house today? Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
God said, Jesus said, I must abide at your house. Now, see, that tells us something. When he said, at your house, see, it's one thing, come down, Zacchaeus, I need to talk to you. Okay. So that, you know, everybody would have the part. Can you imagine if Jesus would have said that? Jesus stood still and the people had to part about Zacchaeus. Ooh, talk about a denominational friend. We Baptists got the corner. We've got the marker. Oh, no, it's us apostolics that got the marker. Oh, no, 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 no. It's the Methodists that got the marker. No, 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 it's the independent Pentecostals that got, no, we got the marker. Oh, no, no, no. Come on. Ain't the truth. We've lost the only way. Made it our way. There's only one way to God, that's through Jesus. Amen. That he includes. But here's the thing. I'm trying to get to where I get this finished. There's a key where he said, I want to come to your house. See, that was personal. That means he had some things to share with Zacchaeus. That wasn't anyone else's business.
Right.
But even more so, by saying at your house, Jesus being a guest automatically would need to be served a meal. Jewish custom. Zacchaeus was a Jew. So you don't have a guest in your house and not show them hospitality. So when Jesus said, I must abide at your house, this meant I want to share a meal with you.
Mm-hmm.
I want us to fellowship. Are you with me? We're talking now about real relationship. We're not talking about just a surface Jesus on Sunday or Thursday, amen. A surface Jesus that's, amen, on a t-shirt or a bumper sticker, amen, or a chain around the neck, are you with me? Or a meme on, amen, on social media, amen. We're talking about a real relationship, amen. So that tells us that Jesus wanted to do more, amen. Listen, oh, somebody help me, hallelujah. I'm trying to get this finished, praise God. Amen. You see, he didn't want to preach at, amen, Zacchaeus. Are you with me? Amen. He didn't want Zacchaeus to just be another convert. Whoa. Saw another one saved on the street today. Saw four people prayed for four people on the street today, and they gave their heart to Jesus. That wasn't what Jesus, nothing wrong with that. I'm just trying to make a point. Jesus didn't want to just preach at him and tell him everything that was wrong with his life. Obviously, Zacchaeus knew he was a sinner. Obviously, Zacchaeus knew, amen, that there was obstacles in his way. But he heard about this man named Jesus. Hallelujah, who would love him and meet him right where he was. So Jesus didn't just want to make Zacchaeus another name on the membership book or another name on the baptismal record. He didn't want him just to be another face, amen, on social media. But he wanted to sit down and he wanted to, amen, break bread with Zacchaeus. He wanted to love on him and let Zacchaeus know, amen, he was worth more, amen, than his disadvantage. Are you with me? Who is the Lord talking to tonight? Hallelujah, you're worth more, amen, than what the enemy says. He desires to have a relationship with you. So that tells us that tree was there for more than just shade. You've heard it said, probably heard it said that, amen, before Zacchaeus, amen, ever showed up, that tree was planted for a purpose, right? It was there for more than just shade, amen. But who would have thunk that God would have used a tree to get Jesus to somebody's house? See, God will use common things to position you for the meeting. Touch your neighbor and say, get ready for the meeting. Ooh, hallelujah. I feel that in my spirit tonight. Get ready for the meeting. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus didn't leave him in the tree. He said, you ought to come down out of there fast. He said, make haste, Zacchaeus. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says that Zacchaeus received him with joy. Help me, Lord. He didn't receive a creed. He didn't receive a doctrine. He didn't receive a theory. Just Jesus. Help me, Father. I'm tired of all the man-made stuff. I'm tired of the pressure in the church culture to make us feel like we got to do it this way and that way and that way and this way. You got to say it like this. You got to go in the water like this. You got to come out of the water like that. You got to do this. You got to do that. All you need is Jesus. Are you with me? Amen. Jesus didn't present to him any kind of creed. He didn't make him, amen, sign a non-disclosure agreement that says you won't go over to anybody else. Hallelujah. He just said, I've come to your house today to bring deliverance. I've come to your house today to bring salvation. Oh, somebody help me in this place. I've come to rescue you. Now, right down in the same chapter, Jesus was about to enter into Jerusalem. I thought about this today. We're about to have Palm Sunday on. And it didn't even click with me till I got this far. Amen. And said, I'm like, well, glory to God, that Palm Sunday is coming right behind it. Amen. Hallelujah. So just a few verses down from Jesus being at Zacchaeus' house, Jesus is going to enter into Jerusalem. And a whole city is going to receive him with joy. But this was different. He was making his entry into the heart of a man. It wasn't about a whole city. It was about one man and his heart and where he was. And see, that's why the Bible says that the people complained that Jesus went to the house of a sinner. If it was left up to man, if it was left up to doctrine and all of that stuff, I wouldn't even be able to preach today.
Right.
I wouldn't be preaching to you this evening. Amen. Praise God. I wouldn't be able to walk in abiding in the call of God upon my life. And that's not my identity. Amen. Praise God. But I'm going to give account for that.
Right.
Amen. Gifts and callings are without repentance. They complain that Jesus went to the house of the sinner. Can you hear him? I can't believe he went to his house. And he's supposed to be the Son of God. I thought he was a Christian. Oh, I thought he was up there. And there he is in the house of the sinner. See, no one else had ever done for Zacchaeus what Jesus was doing for him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Come on, somebody. Right. That's why we can't seek for affirmation from people and things. Because even if they give you that affirmation, it ain't going to do for you what Jesus will do for you. Come on, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And Zacchaeus was repentant, and he said, I'm going to get half all of my... give half of all of my goods to the poor. Now that's the gospel. That's the gospel. That's what the church is commissioned to do. The orphan, the widow, and the poor. Now we're supposed to, right, shine a light, bring the lost, draw them in, win souls. So, Zacchaeus was already 6 feet above, spiritually speaking, all those that were above him in that crowd.
Amen. Amen.
When he said, I'm going to give back, ask some of them in the crowd, all right, I'll come to your house if you give me half of what you own.
They'd be like,
well, let me pray about it, sir. How long do I have to decide? Come on, are you with me? Jesus didn't even have to ask. Zacchaeus said, I'm going to get half of all of my goods to the poor. He said, and furthermore, if I have wronged anybody, and we know he did, amen, if I've wronged anybody, I'm going to make restitution to everyone that I have wrongfully took money from, and I'm going to give it back to them fourfold. So I'm going to make sure, see, it was the Jewish law, the Hebrew law, amen, that if you borrowed from a brother, you paid them interest. It was a no-brainer, amen. So he was going to give them fourfold back, amen, so that he made sure he had it all covered, and there was nothing that stood between him and his relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Are you with me tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. The heart of a seeker. And so, this is why we have to stay focused. And we have to praise God in all things. Everybody say all things.
All things.
Good, bad,
yes.
Pretty, ugly,
right.
Easy, hard, high, low, in, out, up, down. We got to praise Him in all things. We got to keep a posture of worship. And if you will be faithful in what you can do, God will do the rest. God will do the rest. I do not know who He's talking to tonight, but I will tell you, He wants to come to your house. He wants to be your deliverer tonight. He wants to come to your house. Salvation, translated, amen, in the Hebrew, is simply means deliverance. So that means deliverance is at your house. I love that Jesus reiterated that Zacchaeus was the son of Abraham.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Oh, come on. Amen. If I can put that in Hebrew terms, he said, Zacchaeus, you are worthy of the covenant favor. Mercy, grace, truth, freedom belongs to you, Zacchaeus. You're worthy of it. You may feel like you have never measured up, but you are worthy of the mercy and grace of God. So tonight, the view from where you are seems like God doesn't see you. The view, what you're seeing, what you're used to seeing, looks like God doesn't see. And it can seem as if He's forgotten. We preached a couple Sundays ago about when heaven is silent. And it's one thing to not hear from heaven, but it's another thing that you feel like He just doesn't care. That's why it's silent. And it may seem like He's forgotten. But can I tell you, God reminded me today that He's already ahead of us. He's already ahead of you. Touch your neighbor and say, He's already there.
Already
there. His view sees us. And He also sees where we're going to collide with our breakthrough. So His view sees us, but He also sees that moment that we're going to meet, have that meeting with deliverance, that meeting with breakthrough, just as Zacchaeus had that meeting with Jesus. I love the fact that our yesterday is still God's today.
Amen.
Are you with me? Our yesterday is still God's today because He doesn't keep track of time like we do. See, that's what you got to understand. So when we have a deadline at 2 o'clock, God's not. Because that concept is not part of heaven. It's not part of who He is. That's why goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That, because it's just a continual going. So our yesterday, it feels like our yesterday is over, but that's still God's today, because he has no, he doesn't keep track of time. And he even set it, amen, if you think about it, he even set time, amen, and the time that is actually kept is that when sundown happens, it begins a new day. So we're still in today, and he's already in tomorrow. Are you with me? So he's already there. So he not only sees us, but he sees that moment that you're going to have that meeting when he comes to your house. So he hasn't forgotten. He has a meeting set for you if you remain humble before him. It says his name meant pure one, but it wasn't fulfilled until he met with Jesus. So until every breakthrough that we get, every time we break through the situation, the circumstances, the condition, whatever it is that we're dealing with, every time we break through that, we become more of who God has destined us to be. So Zacchaeus, even though his name meant pure one, it wasn't fulfilled until he met Jesus. It's when who he was met who Jesus was. He was short, disadvantaged, a sinner, a thief, a castaway, a reject of his own people. But when who I was met who he is, it changed my life. So when Zacchaeus, when who he was met who he is, we can say it in the present tense, when who I am meets who he is in the present tense, it changes us and brings us closer. And God will be where he needs to be if we are where we need to be. If we take that opportunity, so don't get ready to come to the music. If we'll take that opportunity, that is true. We don't know. You know, I don't know that God had that tree planted right there for the purpose of Zacchaeus, but I do know that when Jesus got where the tree was and Zacchaeus saw the opportunity to be able to see Jesus, God used that common tree Zacchaeus' advantage. So his disadvantage became his advantage. And God used it to bring glory to his will. Somebody's always going to be, and there's something else I've realized in all of my years now, especially spiritually, is you're not going to be enough for everybody. You're never going to measure up. I've told you plenty of times, I am going to disappoint you. Don't ever think it's not going to happen. You're going to disappoint me. That's how it happens. That's how it works. So there's always going to be, and I have also found, help me, Jesus. I don't know why I'm saying this. But there's always going to be people that are going to be jealous of you. It's just how it is. I've encountered spiritually that kind of warfare, and it's always amazing to me that the people that I feel short next to is jealous of me. And yet here I feel like this compared to them, they're going to be jealous of me. And the enemy will try to hinder.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk in the purpose that God has for your life, you engage a war. It's automatic. But we have to understand that when who we are meets who He is, it changes everything. Stand with me across this place. Jesus wanted to fellowship with Zacchaeus. I don't know who the Lord is talking to it tonight, but the view from where you are feels like the Lord don't see you. But He's just saying to you tonight, if who you are in your current situation will meet with Him, who He is will be revealed to you. He wants to come to your house. So get ready to worship. If there's anybody in here tonight and you're not saved, your life is not surrendered to Jesus as Savior, I want you to take this opportunity to respond to His call. He set up a meeting for you tonight.